take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me, please, to the book of the Revelation. Book of the Revelation over, I think it's chapter 21. Sure is a good way to start the new year, being in the house of the Lord. And I hope this will be a year that you could just find yourself faithful to the things of God, faithful to your Bible, faithful to pray, faithful to the house of God, faithful to tell others about Jesus. And sure will be a day when we'll be glad that we've been faithful. May God help us to be faithful. Revelation 21. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, but there's a little three-word phrase that jumped out at me. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. Let's read the passage together. The Bible said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Y'all remember your wedding day if you've been married. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me," here's my text this morning, "it is done." Whew. You see, I already know what's in my heart. I can't hardly read those three words without bursting. "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning, Lord, for the privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, I know today that you're real. The sweetness of the Holy Spirit, Lord, has already visited with us in Sunday school and the singing. Lord, I pray that you'd visit with us, our Lord, in the preaching of your word this day. Lord, we love you and thank you for loving us. And pray, dear Father, that you'd speak to the heart of that one that's lost. Draw them, Lord, with cords of love. Draw them to Calvary. Draw them to yourself, Lord. Help them to know there's forgiveness in the blood of the Lamb. Help them to know there's a pardon waiting for those that will trust Jesus. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name for what you're about to do. Clothe us in our calling. We can't do anything without you. But Lord, with you, there's nothing we can't do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I was talking to Whitney a little while ago. Whitney was saved on Sunday night, last Sunday night. She trusted Jesus as her Savior. And her mommy said, she gets up every morning, preacher, and says, "I'm still saved." You want to know why she can say that? Because it's done. Somebody hold my mule. I'm about to shout. It's done. I will tie some things together, God being my helper this morning. I'll try not to be too long. When I read this phrase in the Word of God, my mind immediately went to Calvary, where our Lord said several things as he hung on the cross. But one of the things that he said that stuck out in my mind that parallels this phrase is, "It is finished." And because he cried, "It is finished," he could say in the Revelation, "It is done." Now, I want you to stay with me this morning, but I want to try to help you, be a blessing to you. I'm not sure that we understand sometimes what really happens when a person gets saved by the grace of God. And I'm not saying that we understand it all, but the Lord has helped me to understand some things that I want to help you with today, if God will be my helper and my guide. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to the book of Romans for just a minute. Romans chapter number 8, I believe it is. Romans chapter number 8. And let me read a text to you here that kind of sets the stage for what I'm about to share with you. The Word of God said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it's a very familiar verse. I'll read the following verses. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." We've been without Brother Brian for the better part of a year. That verse helps me. You want to know why? Because I know he loves God. And I know that while we look at the situation and you could say it's not good, I know that God is working it together for good. I know he and Sister Kim love the Lord. And I know there's a lot of people that love him and love the Lord. But watch this now. The Bible said here, "To them who are the called," Brother John, Sunday school, "according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." Now, over here in the book of Revelation, when God said, "It is done, I'm going to be exactly like Jesus is," the Bible said, we don't know when he shall appear, what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so here in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is telling us that God, listen, he foreknew, he knew the day I would get saved. It took a lot of people by surprise the night I got saved, but it did not take the Holy Ghost by surprise. It did not take God the Father by surprise. It did not take the Lord Jesus by surprise. They knew before the foundation of the world, when this old sinner would bow at an old-fashioned altar prayer at Landmark Baptist Church and get saved by the grace of God. Now watch this. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate," let me just say this to you. I'm trying to help you. It's a whole study in and of itself. But predestination doesn't have anything to do with a sinner. Listen to me, if you understand the doctrine of predestination, it's the saints of God that are predestinated to be with God in heaven, amen, and to be like Jesus when they get there. Watch this now. Watch this. "Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified," watch this, "them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son," let me just stop and say, "it is finished, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Let me just say right there, it is done. When
When you get saved by the grace of God, honey, you got saved because there was a work on Calvary's cross that was finished and completed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, I didn't know it that night, but while I was down there crying out to God for mercy, God was saying, "It is done." What do you mean, preacher? Well, the Bible talks about new here. A new heaven, a new earth, new Jerusalem. The Bible talks about, "Behold, I make all things new." By the way, beloved, listen, our Lord is not in the remodeling business. He's in the regeneration business. The Word of God said, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I tell you, listen, when he said, "Behold, I make all things new," that night, when I was saved, whenever you were saved by the grace of God, it was done. He made you a new creature in Christ Jesus in a moment of time. You said, "Now, preacher, I thought you said sanctification. It's a process." It is. Amen. We're to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But I'll tell you what, the Apostle Paul could stand and say to the church at Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. You want to know why? Because he believed in the mind of God. It was as good as done. God didn't start something that he ain't going to finish. He's going to finish it. Mark her down. There's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. There's going to be a new Jerusalem. Behold, he's going to make all things new. Thank God Almighty, I can shout right here, I'm going to have a new body. It's done. He said, "Oh, preacher, that's something you're waiting on." Well, yes, I am. I'm waiting on the redemption of the body. But in the mind of God, you need to understand it's done. In the mind and in the plan of God, when Jesus gave up the ghost on Calvary's cross and cried, "It is finished!" Redemption's work was completed. A new creature. The Bible said in the book of Ezekiel 11:19, "I'll give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh." How many remembers, thank God, when God put a new spirit in you, made a new creature out of you? I'm telling you, beloved, if that's ever happened in your life, you ought to shout glory. It's done! That's the work of God in redemption. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 15, "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man." Brother Joe took off the old coat, put on the new. I'm telling you, God makes a new man when he saves a man by the grace of God. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4 that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm going to tell you something right now. As far as God was concerned, when I bowed my knee and I bowed my heart and I said yes to the Lamb of God, when little Whitney bowed her knee and bowed her heart and said yes to the Lamb of God, as far as God's concerned, he said, "It's done. It's done." A new creature in Christ Jesus. Think about this. Not only a new creature, but that night when I didn't know it, I thought I got up with the same old name. But according to the Bible, God didn't just give me a new life and make me a new creature, but he gave me a new name. Look what the Bible said here. The Bible said, Revelation 2, verse 17, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." He said, "Preacher, you excited about being made a new creature?" "Yeah, I know what the old one was. Help me." I'm going to tell you something right now. You'll never do much for God if you ever forget what the old one was. You'll get to taking God's grace for granted. You'll get to taking God's mercy for granted. You'll get to take God's love for granted. But you need to remember where He found you. Amen. You remember that pit you were in. You need to remember when He picked you up and put you on that solid rock and gave you a new song. You need to never forget that. Amen. It's done. A new name. A new song. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, heard my cry. He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust the Lord. I read this last night and I thought about immediately what happened that night when I got saved. There was a song, and y'all have heard me tell this before, but some haven't heard it. There was a song around the church house that always bothered me when I was lost. And the song was Amazing Grace. It always bothered me. There was a line in the song in particular. You might as well have had a knife and stuck it in my heart every time that line in that song was sung. That line is, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Let me tell you what God did. It's done. That's what He said. It's done. Now listen to me. I'll tell you what God did. I got up off the altar. We rejoiced. We had a good time in the house of God that night. I was going home to tell my wife that I'd been saved by the grace of God. Apologize to my wife. I'm going to tell you something right now. You ever get saved, you'll want to apologize. Say amen. You'll want to make everything that you can that you made wrong. Everything that you can, you'll want to make it right. That's what this Bible teaches. If I've taken anything, Zacchaeus said, I'll restore it fourfold. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm going to tell you something right now. When a person gets saved, they know what God's done for them. He's forgiven them. He's pardoned them. And they want to make everything right that they possibly can. On the way home that night, I didn't plan it. And I'm not a singer, but I started singing in the car. Tears rolling down like a river. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. God took that song that had wrought conviction for 6 1/2 long years. And in a moment of time, He said, it's done. And He let me sing the song in comfort instead of conviction. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind. But now I see. A new name. That night, it's done. A new creature, it's done. A new song, it's done. I'll tell you something, what the Bible teaches right here. Listen to me carefully. It talks about new mercy. I didn't know. How many can remember the first time you disappointed the Lord after you got saved? The first time you realize that you're still on planet Earth and you're still walking in a body. You still got this stinking mind. How many can remember that? This flesh. New mercy. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I didn't know I was going to need it. I'm telling you, my feet didn't touch the ground for 2 weeks. I mean, I was... Oh, my goodness. I can't describe to you how wonderful it was to be saved. But Lamentations said this, this I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because His compassions fail not. Let me say something right here. When I read this early this morning, God didn't say, listen, it's not done because you don't fail, big boy. It's done because I don't fail. His compassions fail not. The Word of God said they're new every morning. You say, preacher, why new compassion? Why new mercy every morning? Because God knows you and I need it every morning. Hallelujah. We need His mercy. Oh, I tell you, there are men today, Brother John spoke about Sunday school. They got their thumbs stuck in their coat lapels. I tell you, the Bible said, listen, it warns against thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. I tell you what we ought to do this morning. We ought to shout and say, Lord, by your mercy, by your grace, we're still in the house of God because you love us every day. We're still on the fire line for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of something you and I have done, but because of what he's done. Praise God. I don't know about you this morning, but I've got three little words ringing in my heart that are blessing my soul. It's done. Oh, listen. You say, preacher, no, it's not done yet. That's in your heart. That's in my heart. But that's not in his heart. Honey, in his heart, it's done because of the work that was finished. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? I didn't know this, but you know that night God saved me. I didn't know it. I didn't know I was going to get up off the altar loving everybody. I didn't know I was going to get up off the altar, Brother David, under a new commandment. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. I didn't know nothing about that new commandment, but I tell you what God did when he saved me, he said, it's done. You're going to get up from there, boy, and you're going to love people you've never met. You're going to love people that seemingly are unlovable because I put the love of God in your heart, shed abroad by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I don't know about you this morning. That blesses me. I'll tell you, it's a happy day in your life when you learn you don't have to love sin to love people. You can love sinners and hate sin all at the same time. Help me. Amen. When you look in the mirror, you can, my friend, listen, hate your own sin and love God all at the same time. Love others. A new commandment. Then the Word of God said, a new heaven and a new earth. Listen, I'm going to try to be brief. I sat in Sunday school, Brother John teaching. I sat over there meditating. Brother John talks about his mind sometimes, and mine, I think, is about like it, Brother John. I think sometimes it ought to be meditating instead of meditating, amen. But anyway, I was thinking along the lines of the Word of God, and I got to thinking about something, and what blessed me. You know, Jesus over here in John chapter 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, my Father's house has many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. How many members that? He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, and where I am, there you may be also. And here's what I got to thinking about. There's people, Brother Houston, and even songs that have been written about sending up a brick or sending up a two before. That's a bunch of garbage. You say, preacher, you done lost your mind. No, let me tell you what I believe. I believe Jesus went back up here. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And you say, preacher, you ain't got no Bible for this. No, but I got common sense. Look what he did in 6 days. Woo! Glory to God. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that place he's got fixed for me that night when by the grace of God I received him as my Savior. He said, it's done. He ain't working on it. It's done. Hallelujah. It's just waiting, amen, for you and I to take up residence in the city of God. It's done. It's finished. Praise the Lord. Ain't that a blessing? Oh, you say, but he's been working on my house for 2,000 years. Maybe he has. But I don't believe that. He went and prepared a place for us. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. A new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. A new Jerusalem. You say, preacher, I don't know how you could get excited about it being done. Well, God said, we're not going to cry anymore. It's done. God said, we're not going to sorrow anymore. It's done. God said, we're not going to hurt anymore. Brother Richard, he said, it's done. We got God's word on it. How? He that spared not his own son, it is finished. How shall he not freely with him freely give us all things pertain to life and godliness? It's a blessing.
The Bible said here, and God shall wipe all tears away from their eyes. Be no more death. I won't be preaching any funerals where I'm going. I won't be weeping. I won't be sorrowing where I'm going. I won't hurt where I'm going. The Word of God said, for the former things are passed away. I love the song, Brother Ralph. You sang it here at the church not too long ago. Sweet Hour Prayer. I love I think it's the last verse. It says, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. Shout while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell. Sweet Hour Prayer. It's done. What a blessing. The Bible said, nevertheless, in 2 Peter, we according to His promise. How many says that's good enough? All the promises of God in Him, the Word of God said, are yea. The Bible said, what He hath promised, and this is what Abraham believed, what He hath promised, He is able to perform. The Word of God said, God, who cannot lie, aren't you glad, thank God, when you have His Word on it? That's all you need. It's done. It's done. The Bible said in Isaiah 65, verse 17, I want you to listen to this. If this don't bless your heart, I don't know what will. Isaiah 65, verse 17 said, for behold, I create new heavens. Have you been made a new creature in Christ? If you have, this verse is going to apply to you. If you haven't, then this verse is not going to apply to you. I'm going to read a verse in a moment that will apply to you. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, God said, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Now listen to this. And the former shall not be remembered, neither come into mind. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. I've had the privilege over the years to pastor some precious saints of God. And they've been through a lot of trials. But God said, where we're headed, you won't even remember it. Are you listening to me? You will not even remember it. You're going to be out of mind. I say hallelujah. As far as God's concerned, it's done. I'm looking forward to a lot of the things that's in this mind being out of this mind. Somebody help me. It's done. A new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You say, well, preacher, if I'm not saved, then where do I fit into this? Verse 8. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers. By the way, let me just say this. I was talking to a lady last week. She has a daughter that has two children. And the daughter is not divorced. That'd be bad enough, but living with another. And her mama said, you know that's not right in the eyes of God. And this was her response. She said, Mama, times have changed. I'm going to tell you something right now. You listen to me and you hear me well. This Bible said, God said, I am the Lord. I change not. This Bible said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh, you say, preacher, times have changed. It's nothing now to see a man kissing a man or a woman kissing a woman. It's nothing now for people to shack up. I'm going to tell you something right now. It is to God. It's sin. And that's not the only sins. I'm just talking about times have changed.
It used to be a shame for somebody to gamble. Now you've got God's people running down there and buying lottery tickets every week. Times have changed. I'm going to tell you, God's word hadn't changed. It has not changed. Listen to what the Bible said. Let the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've not been made a new creature in Christ Jesus, the day will come when you'll experience what the Bible calls the second death. Separated from God. Separated from that compassion. Separated from His mercy. Separated from His people. Forever and forever and forever. I'm going to tell you something right now too. Just like for the child of God, when we got saved, it is done. Honey, when you die without God, the same three words can be said. It is done. Ain't nobody going to pray you out of purgatory. Don't you listen to that mess. Ain't nobody going to pray you out of hell. You'll bow your knee here. While it will make a difference in your life and make a difference in your eternity. Or you'll bow your knee there. When it's too late to be saved, but you will bow your knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm just a country boy. Don't have a lot of smarts. But I'm glad the precious Holy Ghost gave me enough sense so I could know that I needed Jesus. A lot of things I could do on my own, but one thing I couldn't do on my own. I couldn't go to heaven without Jesus. You can't either. Beloved, this morning, are you saved? Have you been made a new creature? I didn't ask if you've made a profession. Brother John touched on that in Sunday school. All kinds of people said, Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works in thy name, cast out devils in thy name, prophesied in thy name? Oh, Lord, the Pharisees, good example of that. He said they were like whited sepulchres. They looked good on the outside, but they were full of dead men's bones. Have you been made alive in Christ? Is there any hunger in your heart and life whatsoever after righteousness? After the things of God? Beloved, listen. If there's no hunger, maybe it's because there's never been a change. We need to be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Beloved, I want you to know today, He loves you. He's got enough mercy. He's got enough pardon purchased, already purchased and paid for at Calvary to save the world if the world would turn to Him. Do you know Him? If you died today, do you know Him? Would you go to a place that's prepared for the saints? Or would you go to a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels? God didn't prepare hell. This is just my thinking. I can't prove this, but I believe it's pretty good thinking. I believe every time somebody goes to hell, hell enlarges. I believe God has proven to them, Brother Grizzle, I didn't make this place for you. I made it for the devil and his angels. I made you a place, but you refused my son. And he has to enlarge. The Bible said, hell hath enlarged herself. He has to enlarge it, make it a little bigger, because broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life eternal. Have you ever met Jesus in the narrow way? I tell you, if you have, you'll never forget it. You'll never get over it. I hope this morning God has stamped something in your heart you can go home with. It's done. You say, preacher, if I believed that, I'd live like hell. Oh, no, you wouldn't either. If you believed that, honey, there'd be a desire in your heart to serve the Lord with gladness till He comes and takes you home. Let's pray.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the blessed word of God. Lord, I know that what you see is so different than what we see. Lord, it's my prayer this morning that as the invitation is given, Lord, it's one thing to receive an invitation from the church or from the pastor. Lord, I want to just thank you. I just want to stop and thank you for that night that I received an invitation from the Holy Spirit. Lord, you said no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. Lord, would you draw someone today? Would you speak, Lord, to that heart? Would you help them to understand it's Jesus and a place called heaven, or it's their own way and a place called hell? God, help us today. Help us that are Christians to be concerned about the lost, to be using this altar and praying for the lost, to be using, Lord, what you've blessed us with in this world to be a light and a witness to the lost. God, I pray today, Lord, we'd realize before the sun goes down, we could actually be experiencing our Father, your presence in that wonderful place called heaven. Help us, Lord. Help the lost to realize, Lord, they must give an account. Help the saints to realize, Lord, they must give an account. Help us to live for you because you were willing to die for us.